Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
I want to take the opportunity to go back again to one of the passages that I've been looking at in our study at Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, the church that I pastor. It's located on 940 Mush Creek Road in Traveler's Rest. You can find out all the information. It's got a map and everything associated with it on our website. And our website, the best place to go is sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. So if you just go to sermonaudio.com, you type in their search engine, Knowing the Truth, or you even go to Google and you just type in Knowing the Truth, it'll take you, Knowing the Truth Radio, it'll take you to that webpage. And right on the webpage, it has our service times, it has a map to the church and so forth. Plus, you can listen to some of the broadcasts and get a sense for the types of things that the types of sermons and so forth that we have at the church. Right now, we've been going through an expository sermon in 1 Thessalonians. We're in the 5th chapter, and towards the end of the chapter, we're actually down to the 15th verse. And in the 15th verse, it says this. It says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good among yourselves, both among yourselves, and to all men." So that's the teaching, another commandment that is given by the Apostle Paul writing in this book, in this epistle. And it's interesting, just to put it in a little bit of context, that all of this relates to the subject of how to live in a way that is pleasing to God. In chapter 4, in verse 1, the statement that the Apostle Paul made there was this. He said, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you should abound more and more." So from 4:1 all the way down through the rest of the book, he then gives a number of instructions as to how they ought to walk. And now we're in a section here in verse 15 in chapter 5 where basically he is saying how you ought to react. You ought to react in a way that is pleasing to God. That's the idea in this passage. So then he gives these instructions along the way in this chapter and how we should please God generally at first, and then sections about how to please God in the church primarily, and it relates to the conduct in the community of the saints. And this is the section that we find ourselves in, where we've been talking about soul care in the church and the comfort and care of the saints. And most recently, we were looking at the subject of Christian liberty among our brothers and sisters in Christ. So now in 15, though, in chapter 5, in verse 15, he switches subjects to this idea about evil happening to the people of God, and then how they would normally react, what's the natural reaction, but how, and then what he says should be the right reaction to evil. So rendering not evil for evil is the concept in this verse. So I got 3 points, not surprisingly, right, that I wanted to bring out in this passage. Number one is the idea of the reality of evil. The apostle assumes here when he says this, render not evil for evil unto any man and so forth. He apparently assumes in this passage that evil will be done unto the people of God. Now, what is evil that's mentioned here in this passage, right? That evil here, the way it's being used, is simply referring to wrong done to one person by another. There has been something that has been wrong done to you, and now the apostle is here saying, be prepared for this, expect this. There is going to be wrong done to those people who are the people of God. Even the idea is in words, there will be insults, there may be gossiping, There may be slandering or so forth, and they're in actions such as envying or things along that line, or attitudes would be along that same category. In all of these ways, the people of God will in some way have evil done unto them. And this evil will be done unto them either in the church or in the world. I wanted to stress the point as I've been going along and talking about some of the categories of people that are in the church, like you mentioned the unruly and the feeble-minded and the weak earlier. I was stressing the point then that there is no perfect church. There are always going to be people in the church that have these types of needs or faults in some cases that are mentioned here by the apostle. And I brought out the point that the book of Thessalonians, the apostle commends them for doing such great things in the opening chapters, that the word of God went out from them. They received what was said unto them by Paul and the other apostles as the very word of God, as it was in reality and so forth. They were doing such wonderful things that commentators tend to refer to the Thessalonian church as the model church. And yet, we find the apostle then speaking about the unruly and the feeble-minded and the weak being in that model church. And even beyond that, we now find the apostle telling them that evil is going to be done unto them, that, and not to render evil for evil unto any man among yourselves, he says, and all men in general. So here, even to this model church, he has to speak to them about the idea of wrongs being done in the church. Now, if that was true for Thessalonica, how much more so in the first church, with the apostles still present and so forth taking place at that time? How much more is it true in our churches today? So the expectation is set here that we can be sure that as we are living in this life, that even in the church, whether you're saved or unsaved, there is going to be evil done unto you at some point. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this and warned his disciples about it. In Luke chapter 17 and in verse 1, it says this, quote, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come." So this isn't a possibility that someone is going to wrong you. You could take it to the bank. It's impossible that you will not be wronged in this life, that something, some sort of offense will not come against you in this world. And a couple of the reasons for that is the world being what it is, right? All around us, we're living in a sin-cursed environment. We're behind enemy lines. We're strangers and sojourners in this world and so forth. So the world being what it is, and I would add to that, and the saints being what they are. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the saints are imperfect at this point. They're not perfect, so they're going to do imperfect things throughout their life as they're going through this sanctification process. And not only are they imperfect, but they're incomplete in their sanctification walk. And so there are going to be times in this life, even within the church, even among the people of God, the saved people, there are going to be times when evil or wrongs are done unto you. So the question here, really, that the apostle is dealing with is not whether or not evil is going to be done unto us. He plainly says that. The question or the rub or the point here is, what will we do? How will we respond when evil is rendered unto us? That's the idea in this passage. And that's a question that each and every one of us that names the name of Christ must take very seriously, because, again, these are imperatives that are given to us by the apostle here. They are in the present tense. and they are personal imperatives, right? So he's talking to you personally here. This is a command to you personally. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. So we need to know, how then should we respond when wrongs are done? They're going to happen, he says. But then how should you respond? So the second point in this passage is the reaction to evil he speaks about. Now, he first of all seems to imply in this passage what the natural reaction to evil will be or is in the life of a person. The natural reaction of the human heart to having had someone render evil unto it is to retaliate by rendering evil for evil. This is the default setting of the human heart. Somebody does something to you, well, you're going to do something to them right back again, right? You hear different sayings. People say things like this: oh, I don't get mad, I get even. I get even. Hey, if he did this to me, you know, I may not do it in a way that anybody can see, but I'm going to respond. I'm going to retaliate, and he's going to get his for what he did to me. And it's just like, you know, just like the body responds to pain and recoils from it, so the reflect response of the natural heart is to retaliate when evil is rendered unto you. That's just the way it is with the natural heart. Our natural responses are conditioned by our current state. In other words, you don't have to even think about it. Whatever the current state of your heart is going to be what the natural default setting is going to be of your response. You're not going to have to think through it and say, well, this person just hurt me with their words, therefore I could do this or I could do that. Let me think about this. I'm going to do it. Like the body, when it feels pain, when you feel a pinprick in your finger, you don't have to think about it. You naturally pull away from it. It's your natural reaction. And Paul is saying here, he's implying here, that our natural reaction is to retaliate against someone. Now, it's that way, like I said, because our natural response is conditioned by our current state. And what's our current state? Our current state among the people of God is that we are imperfect and incomplete. There remains in each and every one of us, of the redeemed, the remnants of the old man is still in us. This is what the Apostle Paul himself referred to as the flesh. And he spoke about the flesh warring against the spirit in a number of places, like in Romans chapter 7, where he said, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So the apostle himself speaks about, you know, this default setting that is there in his heart and the remaining sinful flesh that he carries about with him. In Galatians chapter 5, the entire passage is looking at the conflict that is taking place between the flesh and the spirit. And he lists there for us the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit side by side. This struggle, this payback, this fighting that's taking place between these two things. So because of this, the rapid response of the heart in this state is to pay back those who render evil unto you. So somebody does something wrong to you, the first thing you're going to be doing is trying to think about how you can pay them back. In fact, the word render in this passage, the word render here is actually the word paid back. That's what it is. It's translated that way in a number of passages of Scripture, paid back in a couple passages of Scripture, and then it is called reward. It is spoken about as being a reward in another passage. It's interesting where it's the passage where it's spoken about as paying back. Do you know what is taking back place in that passage? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 22. It is the passage where Peter is talking about, he starts it by talking about how often he should forgive a brother that has sinned against him. Somebody has wronged Peter, and Peter wants to know how many times should he forgive someone that has wronged him. It says this in Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. And then the Lord gives this parable. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, there's the render, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment, there it is again, rendering, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee again, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But that same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants, which owed him about 100 pence. And he laid hands upon him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me, there's the word again, pay me all that thou owest, render me all that thou owest. And his fellow servant, he fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee. I'll repay thee all. And he would not, but he went and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry. And they came and they told it unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, he said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion upon thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him unto the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. Wow! You know, that's a powerful passage to liken this to, right? Do you think it's important then that we learn how to respond to wrongs that are done unto us? That's what in this passage, it seems to be extremely important, right? And you say, what are ways that we try to pay back someone then? The concept being the idea of recompense or paying back or responding in kind with what was received. Paul anticipating this as a natural response, then what are some of the ways that we would try to pay someone back this way? Well, obvious ones, of course, are like physical payback, verbal things. Maybe this would be in a relationship, like a marital relationship. A person may verbally sometimes by what's said or what's not said, a wrong is done to you, so you feel now justified to give the cold shoulder and say nothing, right? You're going to render back what was done to you, but not in outward words or whatever. You're going to do it with silence. You're going to do it by saying nothing and showing a level of unconcerned with what's going on and so forth. Or it could be verbally, so it's either... could be overt and obvious ways of paying back, or, and this is probably more so the case, there are many more subtle or less obvious ways in which evil is reciprocated. In employment, we think of, we talk about the fact that some people are paid above the table and some people are paid under the table, right? So the people paid under the table, they get rendered what they are rewarded for the work that they have done, but it is covert, right? It's not overt, it's covert. In a similar way, people pay back people in different ways. Sometimes they pay them above the table, sometimes they pay them under the table. A couple ways would be casting dispersion upon a person's character, right? You make derogatory comments about them to other people, trying to undermine a person's involvement or friendship with someone. Someone has done evil to us, they have wronged us, but we don't want to be seen as responding in kind by other people. So we don't respond directly, but we respond indirectly with more subtle, more secretive ways. In either case, the result is the same. We are rewarding them. We are paying them back for the evil that is done. We can hide the response under the category of, you know, these kind of more respectable sins, like sarcasm or jest or some sort of other cloak of maliciousness against them. But, in short, anything that has the spirit of retaliation in it is a rendering of evil for evil, whether it's in the form of word or attitude or action. So what's the right response to evil? The apostle starts this way. He says, see that. The idea is take heed, beware, pay close attention. You know, we must set ourselves in such a way that we are enabled to react in a way that is contrary to our natural instincts. We normally are going to act one way, but we have to act a different way. So we're going to have to stop right at the very beginning and set ourselves and say, hold on a second, this is the way I want to react, but I'm not going to do it. One tangible way that I have done this is with like emails or even text responses and so forth. We have the ability now to respond instantaneously to other people. I would advise that you not do that. Don't respond instantaneously. Think. Take a moment to think and to let the words in. Sometimes our first thoughts are not our best thoughts. So don't respond immediately, but rather take time to percolate. You don't know how many emails I have typed out, and I made it a habit of, before I would send it, I would put it into my draft folder in my email, and then I would send it the following day. And you don't know how many of those emails were never sent. I read it the following day, and I said what I said in here was too harsh. I came across as defensive and so forth. I'm not going to send it at all. You know, it just was not a right response. And that's, we have to guard ourselves. We have to set up ourselves this way so that we don't respond in a wrong way. And this applies to everyone because the apostle here says none. So it's not just a certain group of people should do this. It's for everyone. And it's for every relationship that we're in because he adds both among yourselves and to all men. Do you know what all means in the Greek? It means all. It means everyone. There is no other translation of it that you can wiggle out of. It means everyone. In every situation, in the church, without the church, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And this is a duty then to apply not only to ourselves, but to apply to everyone in every situation. So whenever the spirit of paying back arises in our heart, we must reject and not respond but in a wrong way, but in a right way. What's the right way? He says here, but ever follow after that which is good. Let me say first of all a basic principle that this shows us in the Word of God. The Scripture never gives us just what is condemned. It always gives us what is required afterwards. Our tendency is just toward, you know, achieving some sort of a neutral position. We just say, well, okay, I'm not supposed to do this. Well, I'm not going to say anything then, but, and we think that that's done. But, and we glory in what is not done, that we don't do something. But the Scripture always follows up what is condemned with what is required. Let me give you an example of this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 and 29. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, in the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Do you see in both cases? The first one, when is a thief no longer a thief? When he's no longer stealing? No, he's just in between jobs. That doesn't mean that there's been any real progress there. A thief is no longer a thief when he begins then to work with his own hands And then he takes of the fruit of his own hands, the money that he has earned, and he actually gives that money away to someone that is in need. Now you know that there's been a real transformation that has taken place. When is a liar no longer a liar, or somebody who tears people down, corrupt communication coming out of their mouth? You say, well, when they're not saying bad things. No, they're just in between breaths, right? Doesn't mean that there's any real progress there or transformation. It says that we know when that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, is spoken by them. Do you see how you don't just stop doing one thing, but you start doing something completely different? That's the way that we always find this in the Word of God. And this is how we overcome evil. Paul said this in Romans 12, recompense no man evil for evil. Same subject that we're talking about. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For as it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing you shall heap coals upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you see how this would overcome evil with good? A person wrongs you. If you respond the right way, evil wins. If you respond the wrong way, I'm saying, evil wins. If you respond with evil, then evil is the victor. But if you respond with good, when evil is done, now good is the victor. You have overcome evil with good. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.